Zen Cart is an open source e-commerce PHP.
You look like a 70s
thing.
Piano player.
Could you get a fucking air
less interested in this intro?
It was a dark and misty November-October night, and four dark, large shadows moved amongst the trees.
Milking that.
From beneath the canopy of leaves came noises such as bollocks and okay. Four large gents present Halloween special, season 3, episode 1 of Log Radio!
It's season 3!
Hello, guys!
Get in!
Woohoo!
We've missed us.
You have missed us. We know that.
Oh, yes.
We felt the love.
We're back, guys. It's excellent. Hello,
everyone. We know we missed us because two people bailed us over the summer. Hang on, I haven't heard a show for ages. When's the next show coming out?
Significantly more than two.
Maybe they just thought, well, their fucking website's always down. Maybe they just haven't fixed it yet.
Is that because it runs on Debian Stable?
Controversial.
although in his defense, the answer is yes, it is, because it runs.
Controversial wanker strikes again.
Right, what are we going to talk about this
three?
Time?
We're going to talk about ourselves for an hour and a half.
That was a bit like episode 21 in season 2.
Yeah. So we're back
let's have a show and tell.
So, what have you guys been
I'll
doing?
I'll show and you lot can tell.
I'm going to pretend that I've not spoken to you for 6 months, and what have you been doing apart from you fucking...
I've been polishing my big bald head all summer.
I've been big purple.
You've been going to the labour.
Yes, that is a euphemism.
I've been polishing too. We've all been polishing. Yeah,
you've
anything interesting happened?
Fuck all that. Shitloads of interesting things happened.
I'm a technical author now.
You're a technical author?
Now.
What for? What have you written?
How to transfer a UK domain between... Anyway.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Cool.
Really?
How interesting.
How's the more.
How's the authoring going for you, Johnny?
It's going not so bad.
Excellent. Good not to hear.
Not so bad.
When are we going to see your next book out?
Fairly soon.
Wicked. Okay, I'll look forward to buying that.
That's lulu.com. Lulu.com.
Yeah, fucking eat the dick.
What are we going to talk
Where's
about
that
tonight?
That chinny raccoon.
What are we going to talk about tonight, gentlemen?
Let's talk about
Halloween,
sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Never ever do that again, ever.
That was like my granddad.
He was too
scene.
Aroused, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I was too.
He's
aroused.
He's turned 39.
He's what?
Not during the holiday. It was July.
You were 39.
Hmm.
Ancient boy.
Yes, looking better than you, boy.
Thanks very much.
Kick your ass.
Yeah, it's we're going to talk about we're going to talk to the guy from Zencart.
Talk to the guy from Zencart.
Ian Wilson.
Who's a Geordie like?
Why, man?
Which brings on the whole real topic of forking.
Yeah,
so,
forking.
Talk about forking.
Do you think you can tell us if Spuggy has got off the roof, man?
we'll find out when we ask.
No sense to our American listeners or anyone who's not lived in the.
Do we have any American listeners?
Well, we can go to the map.
What map is this then, Jono?
Frapper fucking frappalapper.com.
So that's www.frapper.com/logradio.
Yes, go there.
Or Log Radio Live. Oh, not Log Radio Live. Oh, Log Radio on a brain here. Logradio.org/map.
Maybe. Go there, and it's got the... It's a big map where you can put a little pin in to say where you live, and
big
we want to see where
it's
in. Yeah. Virtual pin. And you can do props and that, you know, shout-outs and that.
That's very trendy, if you say props.
I love it. I love saying props to my homies. Yeah.
Props to your homies.
Yeah.
Do you have to do something with your fingers? And
don't know. I'm not down with it.
Have you got that thing where you kind of walk along and then just randomly go, boom!
What is that, Tourette's syndrome?
Fucking donkeys.
Another quality radio moment. Anyway, the other thing we're going to do, or one of the other things we're going to do, is
treat.
Yes, and we won't mess it up later on, hopefully.
Shit up, sorry. It's shit
or treat. One, two, three. Shit or treat. Yeah. That's about the minute
which
time
we'll
we've
do,
done
which
that.
We'll do later on.
We're going to take a number of topics and discuss whether we think that they're shit or whether they are indeed atrocious.
Let's talk about forking in relation to Zenkart as well.
No, we've already said that.
We've already said we're going
to
talk about
No, we're going to talk to the guy, but we never talked about
gonna,
we're going to talk about forking.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not just about
So what else are we going to talk about? Well, there must be something
I want to give the bald man a shoo-in about security.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, okay, bring it on.
He needs a shoo-in about security, so you're going to get
I'm being too secure.
Well, he might need some shoes soon, because, of course, he's not in a job anymore, is he?
That's right. I am.
You see some guy having a big issue on the streets, and he's bald, and
he can't afford to pull himself up.
Maybe
anymore.
Want to offer me a position? Then I'm open to offers.
Do they employ fucking dull bludgers?
I'm pretty sure they'll offer you a position, to be honest.
Right, and then we'll do some outro.
Yes. Yeah. We'll do some outro. Whatever that'll be.
Absolutely. No emails for us though.
We'll decide in the next 2 minutes.
Right, keep it tuned. Let's rock on.
Let's go.
Whoa.
So it's Halloween, boys.
It is Halloween. I'm slightly scared.
I'm terrified, to be honest. But then again, I'm always terrified when I'm in a room with you three.
Terrified, so you won't be able to control yourself.
I can't control myself.
Stop touching me there.
I think Jono may touch us in the naughty place.
In the naughty. Touch me in my swimsuit area.
Was it illustrated?
In my filthy knee.
Have you hollered out your pumpkins?
I do that every day. Just when I
have
a shower.
Empty out your pumpkins.
Introduce the new segment, Mr. Bacon.
Right, this one's called...
Well, it's a totally temporary segment.
It's called Shit or Treat.
What is it that? Shit?
It is called... Shit or Treat! Right. That was quite good.
Quite simple. Is it shit or is it a treat?
Simple as that.
Is it shit or is it treat?
That's right. First one. Ready?
Tit or tea.
What are we going to talk about first? We're going to have...
First one is... Wine.
Oh, easy.
Wine. So what do you think?
Red or
I
white?
I think it's a steaming pile of shit, and,
is there any other pile of shit? It's always
well,
steaming.
Not all shit steams, to be honest. You've got to put a fair amount of effort to get your shit to steam.
Depends how long you leave it in the garden.
Or you've just got to put no effort in, but go somewhere really fucking
really
cold.
Really cold, yeah, absolutely. So this is an example
what sort
of someone who's...
In?
Got their body temperature particularly high, gone to a very cold and humid, which is the very important
yes,
point,
yeah.
Humid place, and dropped a very, very large pile of steaming shit. They put far too much effort into
enough
it, in my
about
opinion.
The steaming
what about
shit?
If you're a geezer in Iceland?
What, like one of those fucking...
That's a water effect, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can sort of sit in them, can't
you? I thought you meant a bloke with a big medallion.
I was gonna say, yeah. Anyway.
If some geezer had a shit.
This segment will be an hour if we continue like this.
like B-Jam, yeah?
Right, yeah, wine.
It's shit.
I think it's treat.
So is this segment going to be, it's shit, no, it's okay, it's shit, no, it's okay, no.
I asked you, you fucking answered.
Right.
It's treat.
No, it's shit.
Why?
It's a treat.
Are we doing the why thing?
Quickly, yeah. Quickly, one sentence, like the fantastic distro was.
All the effort that's been put into wine should be put into improving our existing products.
Okay.
Rather than emulating.
Right. You, fucking ging.
I think it's a treat because all the effort that's been put into it means we've got access to this huge, massive variety of already written applications
emulated.
We wouldn't have otherwise.
Not yeah. Emulated. I think you. It's shit because all that effort that's put into it means that we don't have access to all those applications. We have ropey access to a couple of applications.
Good point, Matthew.
And it's a treat because it brings more people over to Linux because they can migrate over because they can run their Windows applications and then they can start moving over to Linux
you
applications.
You say, hey, it's the biggest explanation.
Ah, well
I'm
big in every way.
I'm not sure you're allowed to get 5 sentences and join them all together with the word because and call it one sentence, by the way.
I think it's okay if you do it with one breath,
what's,
obviously.
What's next? Shit or treat! And...
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Been in the mainstream media a lot in the UK recently. I don't know about elsewhere in the world. Mm. Particularly recently, The Guardian did a little...
I always had you as a Guardian
jobby.
Media.
I'm fucking not, mate. but a little bit of a jobby where they...
They had a steaming jobby.
Yeah, steaming jobby. Where they got 5 experts to look at Wikipedia articles in their field
of
expertise.
Are these five Guardian experts or five just generic experts?
Just like
five actual experts.
One was
that's what I was trying to say, but politely.
One was an expert on like sociology or something like that. One was one on haute couture, and you know, they basically each looked at their area of specialism and said, yes, I said specialism, and they looked at that and said, yes, that's rubbish or that's bad. The Register has been doing a lot of Wikipedia bashing, but we wouldn't ever call them mainstream media.
So, you mean the Register bashing someone?
I know, it's so amazing. Matthew, bashing someone for writing bad.
Is it shit or is it
and
a treat?
It's the Register. Wikipedia. I think shit, it's sheet, basically.
You think it's
no,
sheet?
No.
Oh, sheet?
No. Basically.
That was a clever little play there that you did.
I love Wikipedia. I think it's fantastic.
Shit in Mexico.
It's awesome.
I think Wikipedia is brilliant, but I have experienced some of the
one sentence
difficulties of, you know, trying to edit things with factually correct stuff, but someone who thinks that they're factually correct coming along saying no.
Bullshit.
So that's difficult.
It's because if you go and look at Matthew Revel on Wikipedia, there's a big picture of a dick, isn't there?
You're the bloke who wrote his own Wikipedia entry with Bacon has done this and Bacon has done that.
I did not.
Consultant, musician and writer.
I did not fucking write my own Wikipedia.
Right, you.
So I'm not sure
there,
what it
Mr. Bacon.
Is
it shit or is it a treat?
I think it's a treat. I think it's superb. It's a fantastic resource for, and I always.
It's not without it. Its problems, but it is fantastic.
You've had your go.
Hey, shut up.
Hogging.
Okay, shit or treat?
It's a treat, I think. It's excellent. I think those haute couture people or whatever, if they think that it's not quite up to scratch, they should fucking well contribute to it.
Exactly. Yes, the age old argument of, well, it's free and open, so
you know,
so
the
you
bit where we said you'd had your go?
No,
right.
But if they're going to sit there and carp and criticise about it, they've got the option to do something about
no,
it. If they choose
true,
to just carp and criticise.
But any,
you know,
any,
the one any, sentence thing that we
anyway, Bald Man. Bald.
I think it's a treat. I think it's a shining example of the community, of a community driven product.
Can I just,
project.
One last word.
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's fantastic. I love it.
back pedal.
I don't, no. I don't forget, I did say I thought it was sheet and not shit or treat. Because I think it's great, but we shouldn't be blind to the problems with it.
Agreed. Let's move on.
Okay, next one.
Shit or treat
is Novell having to lay off 1,100 people.
Okay.
Easy.
What do you think?
Obviously shit.
Right. Matt, it's obviously jump in shit.
But nobody else has said anything. Polo, anyone?
Okay, right. John, okay.
Joe, Matt, just passed the polo, is right.
Okay. Joe, no bacon.
You know this is a talk show, yeah? Okay, Joe, is Novell laying off one in five people, potentially? Is that shit or treat?
That's
depends which one in five
that's
people.
Shit in any situation. Irrespective of your views on Novell, that's shit for the Linux community and it's shit for the people who have been laid off. Your go.
Man.
I totally agree. I think Novell have made a huge contribution to the open source community. Having to lay off people is always going to be sheet. So, sheet.
No, shit, because sheet is half-half.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. You've affected me. Right, yeah, so shit. It's totally shit.
Now for the opposite view.
Not quite the opposite view. I think it's obviously exceedingly shit for the 1,150 people.
But!
And it's shit for the guys who run Novell. But I wonder whether they might have overcommitted a bit. I'm not necessarily sure that's a good thing for the Linux community, that they decided to buy into Linux in a big way and have found that they've overcommitted. But I don't know whether it's a warning to other large companies that they can't just necessarily muscle in.
It's shit, but
this
it's...
This is an enormously long sentence.
But,
yeah.
And you fucking bitched me for my sentence.
I know. I mean, it's obviously completely shit for the 1,100 guys who've been laid off.
Okay.
And I feel really sorry.
So we're done. What's the next one? The next one is
shit or treat.
So the next one on shit or treat is Beagle.
The dog or the search thing?
The search
thing. The search thing. Oh, the first.
The dog that's
Okay, Ak, you go first.
Treat. Absolute treat. I'm well impressed with it, actually.
Is that a 100% treat?
Yeah. Even given the fact that it's written in mono, I think it's fucking brilliant. I was really, really impressed with it when I tried it, semicolon, and I think that they ought to continue doing things like this because they're doing a fabulous, fabulous job. Open
Do you
bracket.
Need a semicolon
well
in
done,
front of the word
well
and?
Done, the Beagle people, close bracket.
Balls.
Full stop.
Do you need a semicolon in front of an and?
It depends.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Depends if you're trying to...
When you, as they say in the south of France, when you're flogging a fucking horse, you can put a semicolon wherever you want.
Flogging a horse. I'm going to be coming across as Mr. Positive today, because I think it's an absolute treat. I think reorganising the way that we search is crucial, and obviously Microsoft realised that. They're doing it in Vista. I think it's brilliant.
My only experience of desktop search is Blinks, which is unadulterated bollocks. And Google Desktop Search, which wasn't useful for what I wanted because I wanted to search a network share. Anyway, so I haven't tried it, so I can't possibly say.
So, is it shit or is it a treat?
Probably a treat because it sounds quite good.
All right.
I don't know, do I?
Treat. Iconia.
Told you.
Treat. It's fucking excellent. Fantastic. Simple as that, to be honest.
What do I do? Apt-get install Beagle.
That's exactly what you do. Or yum install Beagle.
Huh. So, I believe we've got to do something else. Yeah, we've got to...
Shit or treat!
Shit or treat!
Okay, why have you got, love?
Eric Raymond love.
Oh!
Everybody loves Eric Raymond, you gimp. Yes,
I think you just wrote down Eric Raymond love because you feel some Eric Raymond love.
I feel it every night.
He is the granddaddy after all.
Just to clarify for our listeners, some people might not be familiar, it's a comic strip about Eric Raymond, Linus Torvalds and Richard Stallman and Bruce Perrins sharing a flat together.
It's fantastic.
He's going to turn a URL it for us, isn't he?
I believe he'll do it at some point.
Google for it, you lazy git.
So, yeah, what do you think?
Treat. Fantastic. Exactly what we need in our community.
Not seen it, but I'm going to guess that it's a treat. Sounds like exactly the kind of thing we need, so.
Treat. It's fucking hilarious.
It is.
It's absolutely unadulterated hilarity.
Got to get the bloke on.
It's sheet.
Matt's
little sit on the fence kind of thing. Because, yeah, I thought it was pretty funny, but then again, the guy's got one joke. And he's flogged it a bit far. It's like, you know.
Bullshit.
If you read a load of Dilbert, then, you know, the first couple of books you think are really funny, but after that it just goes on and on and on and on, and you think, well, maybe not. And I think he might have flogged the joke a bit too far.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the next topic on...
On...
Okay, enough.
One time.
Enough.
Should we wrap the next one?
Eh?
Wrap the next one.
What's the next one?
Sorry, moving on.
It's,
Oi, next thing on.
Is it me?
What's the next
it's
thing?
It's Revell.
Frapper.
www.frapper.com
/lugradio.
Right, basically Frapper is yet another Google Maps API jobby.
That's
where
right.
You go on and you can...
Just what we need.
You can say where you are and put your picture in and give some props out to your homies.
Yeah, if only we'd done something like that.
Amazingly enough.
Lugradio.org/map apparently.
Well, if I get that set up, but if I was you, I'd go to Frapper, frapper.com/lugradio.
And you can put your map place on there.
We should point out as well that it was created, well, Abe mentioned it tonight that he created it, and then within how long? What?
Half an hour,
there were 16 people on
there. So quickly that
Matthew,
someone else got on there before I did.
Shit or treat?
treat, but it is just another Ajax thingy that'll, you know. It's a treat, yeah. I won't go and see
okay.
it.
I think it's a treat. I did actually benefit from the Ajax. I thought the Ajax was used well.
Good. I like Ajax.
Yeah, totally. So treat for me.
Better.
Hack?
I think it's a treat. I'm feeling
confident about this one. I think we're going to get 100% treat on this.
I'm sure I saw something very similar before, but I don't know whether something very similar before has been copied by the Frapper people or whether it is the Frapper people.
Okay.
But well done, treat.
Yep, treat. Before, I'd seen it being done on, I think the Debian project set something similar up, and I tried to set something up for Lug Radio, but it was a bitch to set up. And there's no documentation. These guys have gone ahead and done it, and it's fucking excellent.
Excellent.
And it's going to be fascinating seeing how many people spread over.
You don't always need documentation. I mean, because that interface is so easy to use.
Oh, no. I mean,
oh, you mean for the API,
I mean, before the whole Google Maps thing, someone created an interface to doing it for other open source projects.
Come on.
And I tried to set one up for Lug Radio, but I just got lost and didn't have time and all the rest of it.
And it's nice to see that.
So you tried and failed, whereas yeah. I tried yeah. and succeeded.
But you did it the easy way.
That's because you suck.
Okay.
Wait, only at weekends.
Okay.
John and Bacon, shit or
next on...
Shit or treat.
Sorry. Next is Office 12 from Microsoft.
Ah.
What?
Why do I care?
Well, what's your answer? Shit or treat, or you don't care?
Difficult one, isn't it, really? Probably brings some benefits to users, but then it's yet more monopolistic lock-in. I don't know. I don't care.
Baconio.
Sheet.
I won't be careful.
Another fence-sitter, ladies and gentlemen.
It's sheet. It's shit when in terms of the fact that it's proprietary software and it's locking people in, and it's from Microsoft and that kind of stuff. But it's also treat in the fact that they are redefining some bits of the usability, and that's quite interesting. It looks a bit weird, semicolon, but it could kind of, I think it could work, but it's going to be interesting because I think it'll inspire change in OpenOffice and all the rest of them, so.
That was a long sentence.
I think it'll inspire slavish copying in OpenOffice.
Oh, yes.
Slavish, like there'll be like loads of Russian people going, yeah, let's copy this.
not as in of
you mean slavish.
Vinny's, you've jumped in.
I think it meant slaver, as in like...
So Vinny's, you've jumped in. Shit or treat?
Vinny's, I've jumped in. Sheet, very much the same reasons as Jono. While it's proprietary software and there's going to be a lot of lock-in and that's not a good thing, it's good to see Microsoft actually innovating in usability. And all improvements in usability are good.
And then charging a lot of money for it.
Okay.
Yeah, so sheet.
Not necessarily that they've made improvements.
So I'd say...
They're bothering to try.
They're trying, but some of them are a bit fucking inane.
Anyway.
Anyway, we could...
This is an Office UG radio.
Sheet. Unadulterated. It's proprietary.
Hang on. Sorry.
It
shit.
Shit. Yeah.
Because they call the unadulterated sheet. Like, unadulteratedly sit on the fence.
No.
I'm a liberal down.
Shit. Absolute shit.
I have sandals with socks.
Yeah. It's vendor lock-in all over. They've tried to innovate in the user interface. I think they've made a shot themselves in the foot totally as far. I've looked at the user interface and I think it's absolute rubbish.
In parts it is.
And to be honest, it's almost as though they're just trying to do something different just to get more sales.
They wouldn't do that.
God forbid someone like Apple doing that.
Should we explain why we're saying shit or treat? It's like trick or treat. Do you get it?
I think
we've got
it. A bit late in the game to fucking explain it, to be honest.
Okay, last one.
Last one on...
What is...
Shit or treat!
What is it?
It's this year's Linux Expo. I'll go first.
you went and no one else.
Being as I was the only one who could be asked to go.
I had no holiday left.
I'm hearing excuses.
I was in Florida.
That doesn't fucking count. Your lips move. Oh, no, you went to Venice, but that doesn't matter.
Your lips move. All I hear is excuses. Anyway.
All I've got is excuses.
This year's Linux Expo. This year's Linux Expo was a treat for me. It had FudCon downstairs, which meant there were lots of free talks that you could attend.
Were there lots of people doing like storage and stuff like that?
No, there weren't. The Org Village was back upstairs.
They tried to persuade us to go to the fucking storage. Why don't you come along, guys? It's going to be really cool. Yeah, we'll talk about like
pen drives,
NAS,
and SAN.
You just imagine that whole situation. I've never asked you to come to Storage Expo. Anyway,
did.
The Org Village was huge this year. It's back upstairs where it should be. There was still suits there, but as I say, the good part about it was there was lots of talks. So, definitely a treat.
Okay. We all think we don't know because we didn't go. But it does sound like it was a bit of a treat. From other people's reports, it's not just stupid bald people who thought it was good. Lots of people seem to think it was good.
Sounds like they're running scared from LUG Radio Live.
I think they're running scared. I think they've seen that LUG Radio Live was actually fun and they thought no one's going to go next year
and
we jazz it up a bit.
I've heard...
It was cheap.
Hang on. Whoa. Shit or treat, then, Ack.
What?
Shit or treat?
Well, treat, I suppose, but I'm only going on what I've read on the internet.
Again, I don't know, man.
On the worldwide internet.
Yeah.
You can get on computers now.
It's kind of, I think it was probably a treat. I wish I could have gone.
I haven't moved on to you yet.
Well, he's not fucking
I said, what would I know? I don't know.
He doesn't care.
I didn't go.
He's tired. he needs to sleep, don't you, man?
I do, mate.
It's way too late.
Give him an iron tablet. Right, shit or treat?
I think it was a treat from what the sounds of it, and I couldn't go to the awards ceremony, which pissed me off because...
You wanted to wear your tux.
I love going to award ceremonies, but...
Getting too drunk and then coming back to the hotel bar. telling us all
making inappropriate suggestions to American ladies. But anyway.
Okay. All rumours.
Excellent. Right. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you very much
for joining us here
one
on...
One more time.
Shit or Treat!
And tune in next year and we'll do the same thing again, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. ZenCot is an e-commerce system that is a fork of OS Commerce, and it's made in PHP, and Ian Wilson is a lead developer. Let's have a chat to him about forking and PHP e-commerce systems.
Hello.
Hi, Ian, it's Matthew from Lug Radio.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, you're live and, well, recorded to the various listeners to our...
Live and indecent.
Yeah,
live. What are you talking about?
Right, basically, you're the project leader of ZenCot, am I right?
That's correct, yes.
Right, okay, and ZenCot, as I understand it, is... Well, you know, fork, a derivative of OsCommerce, probably one of the more famous PHP shopping carts.
That's right, yes. We forked about 2 years ago now, yeah.
Right. Could you just kind of take us through what led to the fork and the whole reason that you decided to take ZenCart out of OsCommerce?
Yeah, before I joined the OsCommerce team, I'd been writing sort of add-ons for the system. When I was with the team, hello?
I was still here.
Yeah, when I was with the team, my opinion was that we should be moving to add features which people wanted rather than relying on them have to add them themselves.
sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like a reasonable request, really.
Obviously the team at the time didn't think that, so that was the major reason for the fork. We decided, myself and a couple of other programmers decided, we'd like to put a base system together which had these features in from the word go, rather than having people who really didn't have that much PHP experience running shops having to actually do any programming to get those features in.
Sure, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, as Matt says, it is quite a reasonable thing to do, to actually put in features that users want to use. But how did you make the decision that those features were required? Did you get lots of feedback from users, or did you do kind of testing, or what?
Mainly feedback from the users. You know, having been on the team and worked with the users for a couple of years, we knew that they wanted sort of better product attributes, more marketing tools in terms of discount systems, price sales, gift vouchers, discount coupons, and things like that. So we really knew from the start what features we wanted to add.
Right, okay. Why do you think that the original team were ignoring that? If you had all those, you know, lists of things in place from from users and so on and so forth, and it was clearly obvious to you that they were required, why were the original team ignoring it? Why did you need to fork?
I think the vision of the team leader at the time was that he preferred to spend a couple of years rewriting the core to make it more flexible before adding the features. I took the opposite view in that I could add the features first and then look at cleaning the core code up for the programmers.
Okay, so how much of the changes that you make to the code do you sort of flow back to the OsCommerce people? Do they take the changes that you make? Or?
Not really, no. The problem being that we forked the code so much that the two systems are completely different now. It would be very difficult for them to take our code and feed it in. I do know that for some of the systems, like sort of gift vouchers and contributions, people have looked at the ZenCart code and put some of those features into the OS Commerce contributions, but not into the core code.
Right.
So having looked into both OsCommerce and ZenCart, it would appear that the fork has been somewhat painful. In general, do you think that forking can have
create a lot of bad blood between free and open source software projects?
I would say not. I think the US Commerce team made a decision that they, and this is not just against Zencart, that they would not allow any comment on their forum sites about any other fork. Their decision was that, you know, they had enough time supporting OS Commerce and didn't want their support site full of questions about other systems. I think generally it very much depends on why the fork happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to look at it, you know, not just sort of PHP, but I mean, if you look at sort of distributions, I doubt very much there's that much tension between, say, the Nopix people and Debian.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I would say there's quite a lot of tension between sort of, you know, the old X system and Xorg. You know,
yeah.
I think it very much depends on why the fork happened.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, just moving the discussion on a little bit, I mean, something I'd like to ask you is about Zencart itself as opposed to just about the fact that you forked OS Commerce. As a consultant, I've dealt with various people who want a... He wants a shopping cart system, and Zencart...
I'm a consultant.
shut up, you guys. And Zencart seems to be the best option, because it seems to be the easiest option for a lot of people. But it's still incredibly complicated to set up a shopping cart for a small business, and it seems fair... Any shopping cart seems reasonably inflexible. What are you guys trying to do to make it a lot easier to set up and be as flexible as possible?
Well, set up. We already have probably the easiest installer of all of the forks, and we're going to make that easier in the future,
right.
So that it can pick up your system settings and basically do everything for you. We already have added quite a lot of options to the admin, so that you don't need to touch PHP code to make changes to display layouts. And things like that.
Right.
And hopefully in the future, in a version or two, we'll be adding some admin options where you can actually change the actual CSS so that people who don't know CSS can just go into the admin,
yeah.
Change some colors, and that'll feed back through to the site. We already have at the moment a system where you can turn off on and off side boxes. We'll be adding options in the future so you can actually control the layout of the centre columns and which features you want to add in there.
But it seems, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but it seems like the things that you say make perfect sense, but that seems to make sense if somebody's already familiar with the concept of a web application. For people who have never seen a web application before, it's still fairly complex. I mean, admittedly, it's a lot easier than a lot of other web applications, such as, an example is Mambo. I mean, Mambo is renowned for being fairly difficult to use until you've got your head around it. I mean, do you believe that there's ways in which you guys can innovate so somebody who doesn't know what CSS is, or somebody who doesn't know anything about HTML or anything like that, can just literally go there and set it up?
There are a couple of things. Obviously, one of the things we're looking at is to having a much finer controlled admin, so that we can hide a lot of the more esoteric options from a user.
Yeah.
So when they first started up, they won't have all the options for changing, say, session settings and store layout and things like that. That'll help in a sense to not have them sort of frightened away by the technology. In terms of layout, there are obviously some things we can do, but the more, and obviously the more options you have, the more you tend to frighten people, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Right,
yeah,
okay. As a kind of a further point from that, how much effort would it be, do you think, for... Sorry. How much effort would it be, do you think, for someone to build a third-party application on top of Zencart, which did a lot of that configuration and so on? Would you need lots and lots of familiarity with Zencart code? Or could someone, in the same way that the XAMPP project have packaged up PHP and MySQL and so on to make it easy for people to understand, but they didn't write the underlying code, could someone do that with Zencart? You know, release a kind of easy Zencart installer which sets it all up for you, but
that's already happening. You'll find a lot of hosting companies who who use for some things like cPanel and Fantastico, where you can go to the user control panel for the domain and just click the button and it'll install ZenCart for you with all of the default options set, and without you having to worry about going through an installer and setting options yourself.
Okay, you're a good example of an open source project existing in the commercial world. How much take-up do you think there's been of ZenCart? Are you one of the more popular shopping carts? Are you one of the more popular open-source shopping carts? And what do you plan to do about it to make yourselves the leading shopping cart out there on the web?
Yeah. Right. I think behind OS Commerce, we're probably number two. I think you can confirm that just by going to Google. If you go to Google and stick in OS Commerce, you'll probably come back with something like 9 or 10 million hits.
Wow.
If you go to ZenCart, you'll come back with about three million hits. On the other hand, if you go for, say, a commercial e-commerce application like Actinic, you're very lucky if you'll hit a million hits with that.
Really?
I think in terms of usage, open source applications are beating commercial applications at the moment. And in that sense we're as I say, probably number two at the moment.
Right. Okay, so if kind of commercial success is obviously something that you're finding that ZenCart's getting, you know, it's getting installed automatically by different hosts and stuff like that. But one thing that I think that I personally feel is really important for the success of projects like ZenCart is excellent documentation. Now I understand that there are limited resources within any
are
open
you offering
source
your services, Matthew.
I may be right. Offering my services, but anyway, I'm getting the piss taken out of me here. One of the problems or one of the issues that I've noticed with both ZenCart, OSCommerce, and many other open source applications is that if you look in for information, it is there, but it's very hard to find. And if you dare to ask a question on the forums, you get basically flamed to hell. You know,
is this the OSCommerce forums or the
OSCommerce forums are worse, but I've noticed it on the ZenCart forums as well. So how can you build that community feeling that, you know, okay, we accept that the documentation isn't what we'd like it to be, but guys, could you maybe help out newbies on the forums more than just say, how dare you ask that question, it was answered in the year 1923.
I think at the moment we have a very small team, including a very small moderating team, and sometimes I think there are certain other people who are basically mainly users who've used the system for a while and know off the top of their head the answer to every question and can be a little down on newcomers. In terms of getting documentation done, it's something that we will hope to work on very heavily after the next release. We have a couple of people who are already working on certain different areas, for instance, documentation on building template sets. I myself am working on programming documentation. We hope the next release will be, you know, fully documented within the source code. It's finding people really who want to put the effort in.
We already have
a number, a couple of users on the site who are doing documentation wise without us asking in the first place, and I think that's a good sign. Fostering community support is really a matter of trying to moderate the forum
so that
everybody gets a chance to get their question answered.
It seems like a fascinating project, and I mean, just from a personal level, what do you get out of it? What is your own personal inspiration for working on ZenCart?
First of all, is obviously the programming aspect, which I obviously enjoy. It's something I do for a living anyway.
Technical challenge,
I think also is the feedback you get from users. There's a little bit of ego sort of fanning.
Have you got any kind of idea of the number of instances of ZenCart that are out there?
It's difficult. Again, you can probably pick the, again, you can probably pick this up a little bit from Google. Most of the default installs for Zencart.
There's nothing in the code that makes it check in with some kind of server and sort of say.
We know from through SourceForge that we probably had since last year around about 100,000 downloads.
Fantastic! Oh,
that's awesome.
That's really cool.
I've downloaded it 3 times because I broke it. just one kind of small question. When's the next release coming out? Because I'm building my shop now.
When it's ready.
I think if I told you that, I'd have to kill you after.
Come off it.
Please do that. Actually,
I'll tell you this: we actually finished the coding for 1.3 about a month ago. We then had to look at how we were going to release all of that code to the community.
Right.
You're probably looking at and it's tentative, but before the end of this year.
And what sort of exciting things would Zencart users be able to expect from that, do you reckon?
Well, what you'll be looking at over the release cycle from what we have 1.2.6 now to a version 2. In the initial releases, you'll be looking at a completely compliant template system, which is XHTML1
Brilliant.
Compliant. We have a lot more object-oriented code in the system, and some nice ways for third parties to write code, where they don't have to touch the core code.
Oh, right, nice one.
And a lot of new features. One of the things that has been requested most on OS Commerce and Zencart is stock SKUs for attributes, which we'll be adding in the next release.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like you guys are having a lot of success there. Thanks so much for coming on the show. And by all means, we'd love to have you back for a 5-minute update in the future, if that's all right.
Well, hopefully when we get a release out, we can chat some more.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Good luck.
Thanks, Ian.
Take care. See you
soon.
Thanks
so much, Jim. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
totally need open source shopping carts. And,
totally.
We've got two.
Now we've got two. Well, at least
several.
Two, I should think.
Are there any that aren't OS Commerce forks?
I mean, I remember the time when there was just, you had to pay for a shopping cart and you absolutely had to.
And it would have been crap.
It wouldn't have been particularly good, and it would have been a lot of money.
Yeah.
So fantastic that we've got open source shopping carts.
I think they're pretty good. I mean, I've played with Zencart a little bit, and I've played with OS Commerce quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I found unusual about OS Commerce is they've got this really flexible shopping cart system.
Yeah.
And then the text on the very first page of the website, the only way to change it is to edit a PHP array.
Really?
Yeah, it's an arse.
And it's just little, it seems to be like it's all there, but it's just a bit rough around the edges.
Okay.
Which is what Zencart sort of fixes a lot of that. So that
they need
the
Gallery 2 installer.
It has language overrides.
That is fucking wicked.
Yeah, the Gallery 2 installer.
Go on.
Sorry, the Gallery 2 installer is just a really, really good way of it's the way installers for stuff should be done.
It's more and more of them.
Tell us why.
The WordPress installer, the MediaWiki installer.
Mambo is pretty
good. The Zencart installer's alright, to be honest with you.
I haven't tried it, so I don't know.
It's a lot easier than most, and I think the main problem with Zencart at the moment is...
I'm taking it, it's MySQL or...
It's MySQL, PHP, and, you know.
Matt, have you been eating cold chips?
Why?
Because you're hunched. What's wrong with you?
Hang on a minute. Is hunching related to cold chips?
Yeah, if you eat cold chips, you get hunch.
Cold chips.
That's it. It's a northern thing.
Were you aware of this, Eck?
Anyway. Well, the Zencart dude'll know what I'm talking about.
He was from the north.
If you eat cod chips, you get a hump.
You can Google for it. Here's the thing, right?
If you're divin' in
The problem with Zencart and OS Commerce, as far as I can see...
The challenge, not the problem.
The issue...
Shut up! The opportunity!
Get that shit all the time at work! I'll have less of that.
So what kind of market opportunities have we got to learn, Matthew?
Can we leverage our fucking synergies for best results?
I don't do marketing anymore. I'm a technical author now. So anyway, we've got... the thing that
librarian.
I would probably see as the problem is...
Challenge.
Is the challenge.
Opportunity.
As the issue.
As the
room for a way forward is that the templating is bloody difficult to do.
Right.
So basically you have to...
Is that essentially a skin? Is that like skins in WordPress?
Well, I'd want to, yeah.
It's that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's where you basically have a set of HTML files with PHP kind of anchors in them, which pulls in the content.
You see, why on earth, with these web applications, can't
it's not
you,
documented, it's typical.
Why on earth, for example, as an example, with Mambo, or like any web application where
you've got
Mambo,
you've got
Mambo, Italiano, hey Mambo!
You sound now like Rosemary Clooney. Move on.
How do you?
he's saying that as if he does.
It might come to a surprise to you. I've never heard of them.
Never heard of who?
George Clooney's mum.
Rosemary Clooney.
George Clooney's mum.
Who is she?
She's the woman who sang Mambo Italiano.
Anyway, come on, we're going spectacularly off the point.
Welcome to season three.
John had a point.
Yes, in any web application, you've got boxes down the side, typically, and you've got main content.
Yes,
you've got
sick
these,
of them
you've
boxes.
Got, you've
got
a these,
menu.
You've got these blocks of information all over the place, right? And in a lot of these things, you've got to, like, in the admin interface, they're numbered, and you've got to change the numbering, all this kind of crap. Why can't we just drag them over? That's the way it should work.
Because in order to do that, you have to depend on JavaScript.
I agree, but...
I think that's a good thing, but then again, JavaScript is what I do all the fucking time.
Yeah, and I understand that as well, but the thing is that this is the way that web applications should be heading forward. Everybody's banging on
about... Who's to say that it isn't moving forward that way? I mean...
Well, IMO... You shouldn't be dragging and dropping boxes. You should just be having a very easy templating system that you create templates from scratch. I don't want to have to turn boxes on and off. I want to add a box if I want it.
If you add a box and you want to move it to the other side of the page, then the most sensible way to move it is to just pick it up and drag it.
See, where you're all going wrong is you need to think outside the box.
You're such a gimp.
Shut up.
I'm gonna beat you senseless.
Anyway, forking.
Yeah.
Forking.
Yeah. I want to talk about forks a bit.
Go on, fork it.
Zencart's a forking good example of this.
It is.
crap.
It was crap.
It was forking crap.
The thing I've noticed about project forks...
they never
forks.
Fork ack. Imagine that.
Neve surely is a fork of that.
No, she's a child process. what... Fucking joke for fuck's sake. But the thing I want to say is forks almost always seem to be acrimonious. You know, no one ever says, okay, you'd like to take the project in this direction, we'd like to take it another, let's kind of agree. It's more kind of...
it's never going to happen, is it? Otherwise you wouldn't fork.
Well, but you would...
If you all agreed...
That's kind of like saying having an affair is never acrimonious.
They might be reasonable, but...
No, you can agree to disagree.
It's always kind of, you know, a group of people saying, we think you should go in this direction, and the core team saying, we're not going to. Absolutely not. You're all shit.
At which point
they go, okay, fuck you then, walk off and take a copy of the
code. And you think they could do it another
way. No one ever says, well, why don't we try branching
In the good words...
Hang on, explain the difference between a branch and a fork.
Oh yeah, come on.
Look, there isn't really a difference as such. You're thinking of it as being
the branch
more...
is a fork of the same thing within the same project, pretty much.
Yeah, but
those are all English words, but they don't make any sense when you put them together.
I didn't particularly mean it like that. It's just the whole point is that you ought to be able to say, okay, let's develop this project in two different directions, people can choose between them, rather than having to
say, I'm going home
and I'm taking my ball with me, which is the way all forks actually work. They always result from a fight.
In the words of the great prophet Beard Lightyear, to my chinity and beyond, it never works that way, and it never will work that way.
How long did he say that for?
I was thinking
of it today. It was a bit frigging contrived, wasn't it?
Beard Lightyear.
Come on, get on with it.
But yeah, it just doesn't work that way, because by forking something, you're basically saying everything you've done is shit, and we can do it better.
If everyone agreed,
you just all pull together on one
project,
would you?
But there's nothing wrong with
disagreeing, though, is there?
Okay, there's... I disagree.
In nature, right?
And you're wrong.
In nature, forking's done well. Indian elephant, smaller ears. African elephant, bigger ears. That suits it.
I think that's the point I'm trying to make here, that we've got...
You're into forking elephants.
That's a forking big elephant.
I thought it was dogs, to be honest. Anyway,
the point is that you've got...
Tusk.
Shut up. That was fucking atrocious.
Fucking hell, I think I've pulled a liver.
Good job our audience got long memory, so they can remember the jokes.
Fucking hell, Tusk.
If I can just very briefly bring you back to the point. One of the things you've got a project team where everyone agrees and they all go forward in one direction, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then at the other end of the scale, you've got a bit of the project team who are insistent that the core team are doing it wrong, and so they fork the project. But somewhere in the middle, there ought to be a team who think, we're not sure which direction to go in. Maybe we should go in both directions. But yeah, that never happens.
Yeah.
So at that point, we're missing out on a way of on a way of development, of exploring different things, and because you've got a way
of being together.
Shut up! You've got to wait until someone gets so pissed off that they fork the project before any project can go in a different direction.
I think if they'd have had a proper spec in the beginning, none of this would have happened.
No, piss off.
the thing is that this happens in a lot of projects where you tend to have a single sort of point of authority who tends to drive it in one way, and then it pisses a load of people off. So people fork it and make it into a normal open source project. Because there seems to be, I'm not going to mention any names.
This isn't an example of that, though, is it?
No, no. Right, okay. There's a lot of open source projects out there.
I can think of one.
There's a lot of open source projects. I can think of a few.
Maybe.
So could I.
What's that crap?
Open course. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
What's that crap PHP based community system that everyone calls a CMS but isn't?
PHP Nuke?
Yeah.
You didn't say that, did you, Matt?
You did, just
Is PHP Nuke like that?
I don't think so. Anyway, let's not spread rumours about PHP Nuke. It's shit anyway.
It's got bad enough troubles anyway.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, you get a lot of these projects where you've got one person who's pushing it, and people send them patches, and they don't accept them due to fairly inane reasons. So it's not, the decision where the project goes isn't based on the community, it's based on a single person who might not have the right way of doing things.
Yeah.
To sum up, then.
Yes.
Forking, good or bad?
Depends on the situation.
It's good. Without it, open source would not be open source. It would be dead.
There's very few successful forks.
Good or not?
Ubuntu.
My
arse.
Of course, I'm never going to get a yes, no answer here, am I?
Yeah. Xorg.
Xemax.
Yeah. Pretty much every time there's been a fork, it's been good for the community.
I said, is it a good idea?
I think the ability to fork is good, but choosing to do a fork should be something you think long and hard about.
Yeah, much like coming out as anything, really.
And you've,
as a homo.
You should know.
Google that.
Google that. Right.
Fantastic.
Okay, at the Wolf's Lug, we've got a laptop. It was donated
by... We've got several laptops.
Who was it donated by?
Peter Cannon.
Peter Cannon. Well done, Peter
Thanks,
Cannon.
Thanks, Peter Cannon.
Donated us the world's oldest laptop.
He's right, a cheers. Cockney Barrow boy, isn't he?
He is Cockney Barrow.
We shall end flute.
And we use it for presentations.
It's a lovely old job.
Right. Lovely old job.
Anyway, old job. The laptop.
Anyway, the laptop, mate. We don't use it for anything other than presentations, and every time someone takes it home for Fortnite, they seem to reinstall the fucking operating system on it again, just to ponce about with it, right?
Well, they don't reinstall
now,
the operating
system. Now, Age got it for this Fortnite, and he asked me if I knew what the root password was, so he could, or the password for the user.
The pseudo password.
Which it logs into that user.
Basically, I wanted to update the laptop. Yeah.
And I said, what we should do is we should get the password.
Sorry, how you saying? Matt just belched into the microphone.
That was disgusting.
Dirty bastard. Sorry, carry on.
Right. I think what we should do, because that laptop doesn't do anything other than presentations, there's no secure data on it at all.
Just tell him what you want to do. Don't put any BIOS on it.
It's twisted.
Why? Because you're assuming that there'll be BIOS on it by me saying it. What I think we should do is we should get the password for that user and write it on the wallpaper.
So the laptop auto logs on.
The desktop wallpaper.
Now this laptop auto logs on, by the way.
Yep. So you're already logged in as that user.
You're already logged in.
Sorry, can I clarify this? Just to clarify, right? So this laptop,
like geek,
which hasn't got anything valuable on it that anybody can use, right, should have the password on the wallpaper.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah, me too.
Whereas, the point I wanted to bring up is that Aid, I believe, would say you shouldn't do that. In the same way, you should say you shouldn't give root access to people, but for no reason other than the fact that only bald network admins should have root access, and ordinary people aren't allowed it.
Even if
they can't damage anything, they shouldn't be allowed it just because they're plebs and he's a network admin.
He's neither bald nor a
Your
network
answer.
Admin anymore.
Well, thank you for that unbiased introduction.
As if you're
I'm still puzzled as to which way you would go.
I'm waiting for your response to be a balanced and reasoned argument rather than just going, no, I'm a network admin, you're...
Ooh, that's the first animal noise we've heard for a while.
I forgot about that.
So in reality, what actually happened was you said it would be a really good idea to put the password on the wallpaper, and I said, no, it'd be an atrocious idea. Because in Ubuntu,
your old
password is equivalent to the root password.
Go on, Matt, say it.
And therefore, everything could be written off.
So
then we moved on to a discussion about how in your network, you wouldn't lock anything down. You'd let everybody do everything.
Yeah, that's what I said. I remember saying that distinctly. Oh, no, wait a second. No, I didn't say anything fucking like that.
Okay.
My magnificent chin.
Surely a lot of this is dependent on you apply security relevant to the situation that it's in. So, for example, taken to...
What's your root password?
For example, taken...
What's your root password?
You'll have to get me drunk before I say... You think I'm lying, joke, listeners? Anyway, yes, two very...
You said viewers, then, didn't you?
I did. Well, I'm so used to being on the BBC.
When were you on the BBC?
I fucking... Of course I wasn't on the BBC.
So the jealousy you'd raise it.
Two... He did, yeah. Got your cockles up. Whatever the fuck that means. Two very similar situations, okay? We've got the lug laptop, right? And we've got a laptop at MI5. Okay? Right? Now, they're obviously...
They're well similar.
They're going to be secured a little bit different, aren't they? But I'm guessing that if you were an MI5 security bloke, you'd secure them the same.
I would put the root password on the desktop and have them auto log on.
Isn't it just?
Now, actually, answer the questions properly rather than just taking the piss. Why would you lock down the lug laptop when there's no personal data on it, there's no secure data on it, everyone rebuilds it the whole damn time anyway?
I disagree with the everyone rebuilds it bit, but anyway.
You're the only person so far who's taken it home for Fortnite and hasn't installed the operating system.
It's like taking away the. Blind Boy just added hardware, he didn't have.
You put a load of new hardware in it.
He actually put some memory in it.
He put more than 640k of memory in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think essentially what happened was you said it would be a good idea to put the password on the wallpaper. My instant reaction was, really, no, it wouldn't. But more of an instant reaction. I think you're right. What you said earlier is you kind of tailor the security to the needs.
Yeah.
But I've got a question to you. So at work then, Ack.
Yep.
Would you do that at work? With users' desktops. Would you give them root
That's
access?
Different.
I'm just asking, would you give them root access? Because there's a big argument about
clarify what
root
you mean
access.
By desktop. Do you mean a
user's desktop?
Do you mean like a kiosk terminal or regular desktop?
A regular desktop. Because there's a big argument in sort of open source world about whether or not root access is as evil as that.
Yeah.
If it's an ordinary user desktop and they're all built on a standard setup...
Yep, which they are, of course. What you can do manually, one by one.
No, but a lot of people will have specific applications for their job role. And if you can rebuild a user's desktop machine by just dropping in a ghost CD, then give them root, what the hell.
Surely it depends...
They can't do any damage. If every machine is set up differently for each user, then it's not a problem to give them root because they could damage the machine, but it is a problem because if they damage the setup on the machine, then it takes up help desk time to rebuild that machine when it doesn't work.
Surely it's only relevant if there's personalised settings on the machine. So, for example, if you've got just a bog-standard setup, bog-standard like email, web, all the rest of it, but that email program has got that specific user's settings, then not anybody should be able to access it. It should be, password protected, and the password shouldn't be broadcasted to people.
Well, the mail password.
Any password. Right. But if anybody can access that machine, there's no personalised settings. For example, those... imagine there's like a PC in an airport and there's nothing on there but a web browser, right? Then anybody should really be able to access that, if it's assuming it's free, right?
What about hot desks?
Sorry, Matt, you...
I've just got a quick question from the, guy who doesn't know much about this sort of shit. Is there such thing as roaming logins with and profiles with Linux? So if I log into... At work, if I log into the presentation room machine with a nice big projector... I'll click on Outlook and get my email.
Yeah. I think you can do it. It's a bit of a faff to set it up,
Linux philosophy, or the Unix philosophy, has historically not been to have everything copied down to your local... The local machine you're on. It's more built around you accessing all the resources remotely, even from the machine that's yours.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen...
Doesn't really happen.
...in the real world.
No.
It used to happen all the time.
Thin clients.
That's why you've got a directory called...
Run thin clients?
A lot of people run thin clients.
No, but... That's why you've got a directory called user share. The whole point of the share directory was it was shared in between all the machines on your network. That's why it's called share.
To be fair, a lot more people use the thin clients, and a lot of people use the network facilities in X. A lot more than you'd think. I discovered this the hard way when I was ranting about X, saying that they should pull all this shit out because it was slow. Which was obviously crap at the time. Because I never played with the networking bits and pieces. But a lot of people, since I've started working with companies,
loads of people use Remote X. You've got a lot of people in mixed environments using things like Citrix and Terminal Server for Windows-only environments.
If I set up a little small company that would say 10 people in it.
Yeah.
and normal desktops, but it was useful to have kind of, you know, roaming profiles so that I could go into a presentation room or...
Roaming profiles are damn useful, is what you're basically saying.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really equivalent yet.
Right.
Essentially.
Okay, that's my question.
I think it's just best to use Thin Client, because then you've got your entire desktop that you're familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, that's and not a luxury that everyone can have, because, I mean...
No, I don't think as many... I mean, lots of people do use Thin Client, but I think as a percentage, I don't think it's a particularly high percentage of the total number of computer users.
Yeah, no, okay, fair play. I mean, the reason...
Far more people have our desktop and...
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
The reason that historically the Unix approach has been Thin Client-y is because the... it's because terminals were genuinely Thin Clients. They were just dumb terminals that couldn't do anything. You had one hoofing great big Unix machine in the server room.
VT5.
So getting back to your original root password thing.
100, 220, whatever. But... Yeah, the point I wanted to bring up is that I think security people tend to be like you, Baldman, in that they will lock stuff down
even when
they go...
No, excuse me.
That's not being... locking stuff down when it doesn't need to be isn't security conscious, it's just...
Mutual masturbation.
It's not giving people the... To pick a stupid example, people on a network at work, would you give them paintbrush if they were on Windows? I mean, they don't actually need it to do their job.
It depends on the situation. If it's a call centre, then I absolutely wouldn't.
Why? Because they could be doodling whilst taking a soul-destroying call.
Yeah, but from my perspective, if someone's not doing their job and they're fucking about in paintbrush all day, it's not a technical issue, it's a line management issue. Their manager should go around and give them a kick in for not doing their job.
The key word should. But if the line manager isn't going to be managing, like, 50 desktops. He's not going to be able to see 50 desktops all at once, is he?
But he is going to be able to look at the report which says how many calls they did. And if they are making their call quota, what the fuck do you care whether they're spending all the rest of the day in paintbrush?
Why give them another distraction then? I mean, if you can prevent them from, if you can help your company's productivity, but then I mean,
you're helping your company's productivity by turning all your stuff into fucking robots.
Because people are human beings. That was what I was saying. My argument is that, you know, if you treat people like humans, they will respect you and treat them like
animals. No, they won't. They'll read their email all day long.
At which point you fire them for not doing their
job. It depends on the kind of people. For example, a good example of this is...
Do you read your email all day?
I don't have a chance. Well, don't normally.
But you've got email access.
Yeah.
Why don't you spend all day reading it?
Because I'm different. You guys spend all day reading it.
So, loads of other scum. They're all plebs and useless, but you're different.
But to be honest, Aki, he is different. There's not just him, but people such as him. There's people who are, you know, who are...
You've only got to look at our email conversations during the day. You guys spend lots of time emailing each other. I occasionally chip in with one email.
At lunchtime and allocated breaks,
we've still got our jobs done.
Yeah. The thing is, though, a good example of this is Hashlog Radio, right? You've got people in there who spend a lot of time during the day...
Smoking hash.
Dicking around.
Can I just stop you before you take our most loyal fans and give them a kick in?
No, this is very complimentary to Hashlog Radio.
Okay.
A lot of people in there, you know, spend their days and they're at work and they spend their time pissing around with open source at work and they maybe shouldn't be doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that they're doing it and they're furthering themselves and they're... probably making themselves in many ways more employable by the fact that they've got the ability to piss around with this kind of stuff because they're motivated, right? Mm. Now, admittedly, you're going to get people who aren't motivated and they're going to piss around, they're going to abuse it, and they're going to start drawing pictures of fucking cats and paint.
And what percentage do you think these people are?
But that's the point. That's the point which Axe is making, is the fact that the people who aren't motivated... That's not a problem with the software being available. That's a problem that they're just not motivated.
So getting back to what we were saying earlier.
Performance reviews.
Yeah, if you say to them, right, okay, we're going to make sure you can't get access to your email, make sure you can't get access to paintbrush, so you can't do anything other than your job, they're not going to say, oh, fuck me, I might as well do my job. And they're going to read the paper, which you can't
believe. It's a lot harder to get away with reading the paper, though, than it is. I'm not saying that I agree with the argument, but it is harder to read the paper or do a crossword or something.
There is some validity in what you say, but ultimately, unless you've been around lots of users... You can't...
Drug users.
No, you see, I think you are totally wrong, because I think that's what everyone in a fucking suit in a corporate environment thinks, apart from people like Joel Spolsky, who try and treat their staff...
Wrapping up. Wrapping up.
I mean, if you, like Matt says, if you treat your staff like humans, I think they'll actually respond, but everyone assumes a priori that you can't afford to treat staff like humans because they'll fuck you about, and therefore
no one
does.
So, getting back to your original question, you would put the root password on the wallpaper of a machine.
Yes, if that machine didn't have anything on it that could be damaged by
We were talking about an environment where there are 50 machines that are built from the same image. So
no, we're talking about
We're talking about the lug
yeah,
machine.
Yeah, where, oh, we're talking about the lug machine.
No, but I asked the question about in a work environment.
In a work environment, if everyone's working off an identical build machine...
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, yeah.
Then there is no difference between putting the root password on the wallpaper and making them all local admins. Say, in a Windows environment.
The thing is, there is a big difference there, because the local root password on a Linux machine, it's just been cloned or imaged or whatever, is the same on every single machine. So if you know the root password to one machine, you know the root password to them all.
Right, no, okay.
In a Windows environment, that's not true.
Right, no, okay. I'm assuming that they're cloned and then you change the root password.
Or so you change the root password on each, every single machine is a different root password. This is just unworkable. It's ridiculous.
No, because every single user's got a different... I assume you'd agree that every single user has a different password. Yeah?
Every user has a different password.
And if you're running a decent Linux distribution, you haven't got a root password, because it's all sudo.
Which distribution would that be?
That would be Ubuntu.
The thing is...
Breezy Badger. Released only a short time ago.
The thing is, it's all pretty much void, though, isn't it? Because you're never going to get... You're not going to get
it's
many...
It's not if you're giving people the root password to every machine on that floor.
No, let me finish. You're not going to get that many 50-user or that sort of size networks where...
What?
People, hang on. Before you fucking explode. Right? You're not going to get many networks of that sort of size where you're going to have each machine in which people can use it in a totally non-personal way. Everybody in some way is going to divulge something on that machine that's personal, that might set up Thunderbird or Outlook or something in some way that's personal.
They won't have access to that.
But the point I'm making is that there's not many machines that are going to be out there where people are going to be using it in such a generic way that you can just give anyone a password. Most machines... You're going to store some kind of personal settings on there that require a password.
Yeah, that's their user password.
In the same, so I agree with you on that point. But in
the same
way, it's totally fucking...
Only for the first user in Ubuntu, not for every user in Ubuntu.
In the same way, it's totally, unbelievably, fucking pointless.
Yeah.
Just put fucking passwords on the log machine where anybody can access it, and then when somebody gets it, they format it and install Ubuntu again on it.
Well, A, they don't do that. B, if you,
B,
if,
my
when,
chin,
when you rewind that. This, I did concede to
rewind.
That, but then I asked about a corporate environment.
Right.
Yeah. You're saying you're going to give the root password to a machine.
No, just wait.
And therefore the root password to every machine.
You suddenly changed it so someone would have the root password to every machine. I think you should be able to have access to that one machine, absolutely. And if you've got root access to it, then fine. If that magically gives you root access to all the machines, then no, I don't think you should have it.
So you're changing there.
I'm going to start windmilling in a minute.
Why not?
I said you should be able to have root access on the machine you're on. If that implies root access on all machines, then I don't think you should get it.
Well, how exactly do you plan on doing it any other way, then? You're going to have a different root password on every machine. Don't have a root account. Okay, so what do you give them then?
Their user account, so they can sudo on their machine.
Only
but not
the
on
first outfit. User has root access.
And that machine is set up for you.
So, it's the end of the show.
It is.
Now, for a while we've been thinking that we need a new jingle for this bit of the show.
Yes.
So, we've got two. We've had...
John Dobson.
John Dobson sent in his.
Thanks, John.
And we've also produced one of our own. So what we're going to do is we're going to play both of them, and we'd like you to vote over on the forums. So, Jono, can you cue up the first one?
Here we go.
Play that tune.
Log. 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 Log radio. Log. Log. Log radio letters. Log.
My bit's coming up in a minute.
Log. Log.
Thanks for thankful.
Log radio letters.
You have to listen to the greatness.
Sending them in.
Radio letters.
Back out.
Sending them in. Log radio letters.
Log radio.
The log radio studio is the Hawk Mash.
Fantastic. So that
thanks,
was
John
a brilliant
Dobson.
Effort from John.
But yeah, nice one.
John Dobson's Drum and Bass Collective.
Drum and Festival Collective.
Yeah, so it's going to be a close one. So give us your opinions. Here's ours, anyway.
Let's see how it goes.
Okay, right. Well, I suppose one implies the other. But...
There's no limit.
Oh, yeah. Letters. So that was a fantastic couple of tracks there for you.
Yes.
yeah. John, don't be too disappointed if Az wins in the vote. I mean, I don't know which one's going to win.
No, not quite.
Could be yours, could be Az. All I'm saying is just don't be too disappointed if Az actually wins.
I can predict who's the winner.
also, keep sending in your jingles for us.
Keep sending them in.
Now, you would expect that we'd have some emails to read out, having just played the emails
after
jingle.
But it's all a cunning ruse.
It is a cunning ruse. We don't actually have any emails for certain reasons. But yeah. What we do have is we have some voicemails.
We did get a heroic number of emails over
the summer. We did, and we're still going through them, and we definitely will read them on the next show. But for now, we've got some voicemails we want to play. And now, we want you to send us more voicemails.
Please.
What's the number?
0870-930-1730.
What was that, Matt?
0870-930-1730.
No, you cocked that up.
Oh, like I was following a tune last time that I'd written at home on the toilet.
Fantastic.
See, we think you did sit at home on the bog writing the tune.
0870-930-1730.
Coming at you.
That's right. So,
which for international listeners is?
+44 1730
For international listeners, please call.
That's +44 870-930-1730.
That was longer than the last name.
Order now and get a free Matthew Revelle.
and Boomy, can't people
you
like...
You pull a cord and it's like marketing bullshit.
I'm a technical author.
It's all about marketing.
No, you pull a cord. Pull a cord, mate. Oh, I'm too tired for this.
we've already got one of those, Matt. Someone pull his cord.
Oh, dear.
Am I right in thinking that if you've got, like, a SIP phone, you can dial up and leave us a voicemail for nothing?
For free, yes.
If you've got a Gossip Tell account, yeah.
Oh, or
and who's on
agreement.
Gossip Tell, yeah. Let's ask. No one.
Well, why did you do it on...
Because they were one of the only people at the time offering free numbers and free voicemail. Right.
Good. Okay, so... Dial in, leave us some voicemail messages.
Yes.
Okay, and here's how the main, we've been left.
The main bonus of voicemail messages, by the way, is the fact that
we get them.
We
email.
Don't have to read out emails. it's our
third
medium.
We are more likely to get on the show.
Aid, we had a fantastic voicemail from somebody who... do you want to hear this? It's a very wise message from a caller.
From an anonymous caller.
An enema.
I think you need an enema. Or an enemy up your enema.
With friends like these, who needs an enemy?
Did you say public enemy up your enema?
No. Yes.
That's what you heard.
All right.
So, keep sending them in.
Voicemail.
Here we go.
Monkeys! There's monkeys everywhere! Can't move for fucking monkeys!
Okay, so, don't know who that was.
What the fuck was that?
obviously sounded quite someone distressed. Having a monkey issue.
You know, obviously, call me a cynic, right? But he sounded vaguely familiar.
Oh, really?
I'm sure I've heard.
Ack, what were you doing?
Not that. He didn't sound like Matthew.
No.
And he didn't sound like Ack.
No, or me.
And my fucking chin.
Okay, I confess, it may or may not have been
When did
me.
You do that?
It's quite a while ago.
Oh.
It shows how often we check our Look Radio voicemails.
It was a test, wasn't it? Everything's
exactly
a test.
That. It was meant to kick off the voicemail section.
Well,
the
here
show.
We go. Here's the next one.
Without telling anybody about it.
What? So, Tony Whitmore.
Let's have a real one from Tony.
Okay.
Tony.
Hi, this is Tony from Handplug, wishing Look Radio all the best for season 3. I hope you'll continue to cast your pods across the face of the earth as well as you did last season. Bye.
Thanks, Tony.
Fantastic.
Cheers. Nice one,
Tom. Nice one. So, what was the number again?
Oh, 08, that's not 00, that's just me being shocked. That's 0870-930-1730, or if you're an internationalist, +44 870-930-1730.
Internationalist?
I think that's the right number anyway.
Anyway, they're not O's, they're zeros, as we know.
So, so one thing that you kind listeners should have picked up on is A, our voicemail number, and B, the fucking map website.
Which we haven't mentioned yet in the outro.
Haven't we?
Frapper.com.
Frapper.com/radio.
Lug Radio.
Yeah, so...
So go and stick your pin in the lovely Lug Radio map.
Go and stick your pin in
it.
Yeah, it's been an interesting show. It's great to be back, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, yes.
When are we doing the next one?
It's like Blues Brothers 2000, isn't it?
Well, we're having a special second episode, aren't we?
So you mean we're going to be back here? Same
no, this is a special episode. And we're then we're back a perfectly ordinary second episode.
And then we're back on form, aren't
we? But it'll be out in a week's time.
Yeah, so a week. A week.
You've only got to wait a week.
Oh,
guys.
By the way, did everybody enjoy all the extra content over the summer break from Lug Radio Live?
Yeah, Jono, I really enjoyed the fact that you put fuck all up.
I was a bit busy.
Chin.
It'll be up, you know,
at some point.
I believe.
No, yeah, I'm not even going to try.
Let's sell it on solid gold CDs.
Yeah, because that'll sell well. Bit like the Lug Radio box set, eh,
mate? They were.
Oh, I forgot about that. If anyone wants to do it, then
what
go
are you
winding
for? Try to do the pub quiz, mate. Anyway.
Maybe we can do the pub quiz while he's busy with the gnome documentation.
Anyway, it's been great to be back. Keep tuning. We're going to be back next week.
Yes.
We won't be back every week. We'll be back every fortnight, but...
Yeah.
Couple of points, right, before we finish. Very important.
Couple of points, it's cold in here.
Very, very important. There's a pledge bank. There's a pledge bank appeal
for
a British digital rights campaign.
Yes, there is.
We're pretty close, actually, aren't we?
Pledgebank.com/rights.
Yes. Go to it. Basically, they needed 1,000 people to sign up. The first two... Well, me and Ack, right? Yes.
Who's behind it?
Dan O'Brien set it up.
Now, how many do they need? They need 1,000, didn't they?
They need 1,000, and it's basically where you give someone like
now,
5 or a tenner a year or a month
close,
or something.
We're pretty close,
aren't we? And they're 99 away the last time I checked, which was about a week
ago. So they've got 90% of the people already...
Yes.
Yeah. In order to set up a British version of the EFF.
Which is so fucking important.
It's what would Corey Doctorow
The Lug Radio Massive can make this happen. You really can.
Be part of it.
Oh, right.
Is what you do.
So
go,
I will be signing my pledge tonight.
Yep, go
yeah,
and
me
do
too.
It. It's
tomorrow.
Really
that's 98,
important.
97.
Yes.
This is going to happen.
99, 100.
I reckon by the time next week, I reckon we could even be saying...
We can add it to the list of things that Lug Radio has made happen.
Yeah.
Should we go through the list again?
First off,
T-shirt.
This is important. They were a little while away, a little distance away last time we looked, but they may well be there by now.
Yeah.
But secondly, don't let that stop.
Are we nearly there yet?
Because people are, you know, if more people contribute a tenner a month, that gives them more money.
And it's more,
so don't go, the pledge has been completed,
I won't
bother signing up.
If
you
like,
care
if,
about rights in this
if
country,
you like open
you
source
up.
And you like podcasting, and I'm making the assumption that most of you do, this is really fucking important. So go and do it. Don't be a tight ass, right? Don't think, no, I'm going to go down and buy a pack of fags, right? Go and give your money to them, otherwise we'll send the boys round.
No, hang on.
Grant and Phil.
But skip lunch a couple of times a week or something.
We'll send
an insight into your life there.
That's number one. Number two.
Do I look like I've skipped any lunches?
No.
Not many, that, to be honest.
No. Number two.
You're a fine one to talk, you fucking
number
salad.
Number two is go to the wiki and post your speaker suggestions.
Where on earth will they find such wiki?
They go to wiki.lugradio.org.
Ah, okay.
And go on there, there's a link to Lug Radio Live 2006, which is going to rock a massive bollocks next year.
It's going to be brilliant.
It's going to be brilliant. We're not going to say too much about it because we're still planning it and we all hate it.
We don't know too much about it.
Exactly.
Other than it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. So go and press your speaker suggestions. Try and make them a bit reasonable. You know, don't mention any of us because we can't fucking do talks at the event, obviously.
Talking about things that we've made happen, by the way.
Hang on.
Right. That's first thing. And also don't...
That wasn't the first thing. That was the second thing.
And don't fucking suggest people that...
Like Bill Gates because he's not going to come.
Yeah. Yeah, or the Queen or something like that. But, yeah, suggest people, and fingers crossed we can rally him, because we're going to, instead of asking people to come, we're going to bully people to come. Works better.
Yep.
Excellent.
Go for it.
I was going to say, talking of things that we've achieved.
Yeah.
Gnome 212 now has a working clipboard.
Yeah.
Who's to thank for that?
I think it's
Is it the people who actually coded it?
I think it's the little thing.
No, I'm thinking it's us.
I think it's us.
It's Lug Radio.
Let's chalk that another.
That's another one on the board.
Let's slap each other's backs.
Yep, thank you.
Circle jerk.
Circle jerk. So,
no, thanks, Gnome Boys. Thank you for finally fixing my clipboard.
Yeah. And make the pledge bank thing.
Gnome Boys, that's a disturbing image.
That's my homies, I'll keep giving props to.
Ah, okay.
Me gnomies. So, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
See you next show.
Alright, yeah.
Bye.
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 Bye.